Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He is the light of the world. Amen. Yes. And seeing that we in him and he in us, that makes us lights.
Amen.
Amen. This is a new year. Amen. We have to do some things differently than what we did last year. Basically, what it's coming down to is, do you know who you are in God so that you can represent the God that you know you are? And it's so important. And it cost us something to live this life. You know, I told you years ago, when I first gave my heart and life to God, they had me thinking that this thing was going to be easy. I thought I was going to just be floating around and money was just going to be dropping in my pocket. I found the opposite out. I found out that my pockets were going to be empty most of the time. I found out that there were going to be afflictions. I found out that there were going to be struggles and trials that I had to go through, and that I wouldn't know how to make it in them unless I did what? Studied this Bible for myself. I tell you all the time, don't take my word for it. Find out for yourself. Go home, research it. Make sure that whatever a preacher is saying is the truth. Because if it ain't the truth, then you don't have to live by it. That's how important it is. We've come to a place where if it sounds good, we'll take it. And we'll try to apply it to our lives. And you can't apply everything to your life. In the 12th chapter of Romans, it reads as this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Ask yourself, whose body is it? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to him every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, how many heard that? I'm going to read that again. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone's member one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, or ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with what? Cheerfulness. We have a job to do.
Amen.
And we have to do it in ourselves. We have to do this job. He said, I beseech you, therefore. Or what he's saying is, I implore you. I implore you according to you, brethren, by the mercies or by the love of God, by the compassion of God, that you do what? That you present, and if you look at the word God, the translation, the Greek translation for the word God is theos. That means God in you. Or also it can be a divinely implanted principle that is in your life, which is called faith.
Yeah. Amen.
So the mercies of God that ye present your bodies. See, it's easy to present your bodies if you're presenting God.
Yeah.
How do you present God? By showing forth a character and the nature of God. Well, you say, how do I show forth the character and nature of God? You do that by walking in love. Which isn't easy these days. Praying for those that despitefully use you, which isn't easy these days. Having compassion for folks that you know, flat out, don't have no compassion for you. Caring about people that you know would cut your throat if they had half the chance. It makes you go the extra mile to love folks that almost sometimes you would think are unlovable. That makes it hard. But God don't care. That's the thing about it. He does not care. He's given us His word. He's given us His spirit. And He expects us to present or to yield our bodies, to yield ourselves as what? A living sacrifice. One of the greatest sacrifices that you can think about was when Abraham sacrificed Isaac. Isaac said, "Where we going, Dad?" "To the mountain." "What are we going to the mountain for?" "For a sacrifice." "Well, Dad, where's the sacrifice?" "You the sacrifice." But the good thing about it is, God will do what? He will provide. God, when he got ready to do what he got to do, he raised the knife, and God said, "Abraham, look it over there in the thicket." I'm paraphrasing. When he looked over in the thicket, what was in the thicket?
A ram
was in the thicket. There, but see, God wants us to trust him.
Come on.
When you present your bodies, when you present yourself as a living sacrifice, that means God's always going to have a ram in the bush for you when you put yourself out there. We have gotten afraid to put ourselves out there because people take advantage of your kindness. They'll take advantage of your care. They'll take advantage of your compassion, and they'll break your heart. But the good thing about it is God knows how to mend it.
Amen.
I can't begin to tell you some of the stuff that's done to me around this place. I've been here 48 years, I'm pretty sure. I don't know how I could possibly forget, but I've been here about 48 years, and there ain't nothing new under the sun that I haven't experienced being here.
Amen.
I've gotten mad and thrown my keys and quit, and I'm still here. Gotten upset and slammed doors, walked out, and I'm still here. You know why I'm still here? Because I said, God told me.
Come on.
To be here.
Right. Amen.
So if you believe what God has told you, then you have to stand on that principle without wavering.
Amen.
And that's what Paul has said. If you're going to present yourself as a living sacrifice, if you're going to become a sacrificial lamb, then you're going to have to deal with some folks. Because basically that's all we're dealing with. You know, you can handle it most cases if you don't have any money in your pocket. You know, you can handle it pretty good if your back is hurting. Ask me how I know. You can handle it pretty good if your feet are sore.
Yeah.
But you know what we don't handle no more? Folks messing with us. We have a hard time handling folks messing with us. But the Bible says you've got to be what? A sacrifice. Sometimes it says you have to keep your mouth shut. Oh, that's hard for me, sis. That's hard for me. I've gotten a whole lot better. I have learned to just walk away. Because before, if you hit me with a pebble, I was going to hit you with a brick.
Uh-oh.
If you hit me with a brick, I was going to hit you with a boulder.
Yeah.
And God said, if you hit somebody with a boulder, I'm going to hit you with lightning.
Uh-oh.
How are you going to represent the kingdom of God and you acting like they act?
Yeah.
Right.
Somebody has got to show a difference that God is really God.
Yeah.
Most folks don't think God is God because the saints don't act like God is God. It's quiet in here today. He says, acceptable unto God. And the thing about it is, he said, it's your reasonable service. It's something that you're supposed to want to do. And service is translated worship. It's something useful. Your rational and logical thinking is supposed to want to do the right thing for God. You're not doing it for yourself. We tend to think that these things we do, we're doing them for ourselves. But you're not doing it for you. You're doing it for God. So that the kingdom of God can be edified and men and women will know that there is a Jesus living in the earth, and he's living in a people that when he went to live with the Father, he sent us somebody. So we have to represent. And as the years go by, the Bible says things are going to wax worse and worse. And it ain't so much talking about all the killing. It's talking about the things you're going to have to deal with. And, you know, there's been times when I've gotten sick and didn't feel good. And I said, Pastor, I said, Lord, now you are a healer. And I know what a miracle is. A miracle is when you intervene in the affairs of mankind. Well, I'm mankind. Don't you think you should intervene?
Yeah.
Well, seeing that I didn't get an answer, I decided I'd just hold on to my confession of faith and keep it moving.
Man.
I don't know. I talked to my father like that because I want him to know. Yeah. That don't mean he's going to do anything about it, but I still want him to know.
Yeah.
Amen. So here we are, reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world.
Yeah.
Be not conformed, or to be fashioned like, or conform to that pattern. You know, who was that said that? Was it Charles Barkley? He said, I am not an example. I am not a role model. Oh, well. I'm going to leave him alone because I don't want him coming to the church. Anyway, we all are role models.
Amen.
For somebody. Somebody is always watching your life.
Amen.
Because you have confessed that Jesus is Lord. You have confessed that you're born again. So they are always watching your life. I don't know about yours, but these guys, the people I'm around, they are always watching me. And they'll check you too. I thought you were a minister. I said, I thought you said you were saved. What's the difference? Tit for tat. You know, God expects both of us to live right and to treat each other right. So we can't allow ourselves to be conformed or to become like or fashion like things that are in the world. When it talks about the world, it's not so talking about the worldly system. It's talking about that old fool or that old boy that is the world. Most people don't know that he is the world. You know, they seem to think that Satan is the world. No, he is just the prince of the air. But Jesus took care of all of that when he went down and took keys to death, hell, and the grave. If you take the power of death, hell, and the grave, what are you leaving somebody? They don't have nothing. So God expects us not to be conformed to this world, but to be what? Transformed, changed, or transfigured into what he is. You say, well, how do you know what God is?
Man.
That's the only way you're going to know.
Man.
You can't know no other way. We don't have Jesus walking around down here showing us. And we don't trust nobody. So it's best we get it for ourselves.
Amen.
I was walking around complaining to Pastor Hart about it. You bring all these preachers through here, they ain't preaching no word. You know? I said, yes, sir, Pastor. How can I help? He said, have a seat. You know, that growl he got. Have a seat.
Okay.
So I sat down. So let me tell you two things. The first thing I want to tell you is that I don't care nothing about your ability. All I care about is your faithfulness to God. Now, you know I got hot behind that. Then he told me, two, if you don't think you're getting enough word, get you a fork, a knife, and begin to feed yourself. Then that will eliminate all your ability to complain. Then you might actually be able to help somebody that is preaching. And that stuck with me. So I began to study. And I studied. And I studied. And I studied. And it got to the point there when folks would get up and preach, I didn't say anything no more. I just sat there. Whether I thought they were wrong or not, that wasn't my business. What I learned to do was respect ministry. I didn't align myself with the transformation of this world or this system. I allowed myself to be transformed in my mind. But it was the word of God that transformed me. Didn't have nothing to do with me being smart, because I wasn't. Didn't have nothing to do with how much I prayed or how long I fasted. It had to do with me studying to show myself approved, a workman that needed not be divided, but rightly understanding what the word of God is saying to us.
Yeah.
God said, with all you're getting, get understanding.
Yeah.
We need understanding, because the understanding will do what? It will help you most definitely in your trying times.
Yeah.
When it's hard, you can't depend on anybody, or you don't know who to call, and you're sitting there all by yourself, you will learn that you got to call on Jesus.
Amen.
I've been in some situations there was no one to go to.
Right.
Didn't nobody get me into them. I got myself into them. But yet I still needed help.
Right.
I came to a place where I had to transform my mind, read this Bible, find out what it said. And what I found out, God wasn't patting me on the back with the Word of God. He was chastising me. What it did was make me get myself straight. And that's exactly what I did. Now, don't get me wrong, I can still be a loose cannon at times. But I know how to bring him down and get him back up under my feet and get him under control by the Spirit of God. So, as we're transformed by the renewing of our minds, or your spirit, it's talking about life quickening of your spirit, that he may prove what is that good. How do you prove it? You know, you tell somebody that banana pudding is good. How do you prove that it's good? It's in the pudding. Give them some of the pudding. Well, the way you prove that it's good, that life that you're living, is let them into your life. What I mean by letting them into your life, let them see what you really stand for. I tell you this all the time. Whatever is in a man, it's going to come out that man. It ain't no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah.
Try it. Try eat a whole bunch of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Give it a couple hours. Oh, well. Let's move on. What is the acceptable and perfect will of God? When it talks about the word perfect, it's talking about that you're perfect. Because ain't nobody perfect. Ain't nobody ever going to be perfect. The word perfect is actually translated mature. We need to be mature in the things of God. Saints act like little kids. When things go on that they don't like, I don't like what Pastor said. I'm not going to church next week. Okay. Thanks for doing me a favor, because you weren't going to do nothing but bring a bad attitude anyway, and you were going to infect somebody else. Oh, boy. I'm almost... No, I better not tell that lie. The perfect will, or the desire of God, or the God that's living in you. You are to please him.
Amen.
And the only way you can please him is by allowing him to live through you.
Amen.
That's a hard task, because Jesus will say go left and your flesh will want to go right.
Yeah.
Jesus will say hug and your flesh will say forgive.
Yeah.
Jesus will say why don't you go greet them, and your flesh will say I'll just go down the other aisle. These things are serious for us in this new year.
Amen.
If we don't start it out right, we're not going to finish it right.
Amen.
If you don't start out loving folks and caring about folks and praying for folks, you're not going to end loving folks, caring for folks, and praying for folks.
Amen.
It's so important. For I say, through the grace given unto me. Now this is what the man of God said. He said, for the grace that was given unto me. He said, God's love was so strong in my life, I had no choice. I had no choice. To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly. He said, the grace of God is so important. The love of God is so important in our life. We can't get to a place where we think we're better than anybody else.
Amen.
I remember a time if folks thought they had more knowledge and understanding in the Word of God, they felt like they were better than you. Guess what happened when that happened? You got clicks for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a bad word to me, a click. Because if there's a click, then there can be no God.
That's right.
He's the only leader.
Yes, he is.
Amen.
Amen.
They say, well, you're a leader, I'm a pastor. I'm a servant. It's my job to serve you. Don't get no funny ideas. Unto me, to every man that is among, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. When it's talking about thinking soberly, it's not talking about drinking. What it's talking about when you think soberly, it's said candidly in your mind. Amen. You don't war against your mind over the things of God. That's why the Bible says cast down what? Every imagination. And word imagination is translated reasoning. You know, a lot of times I found myself reasoning within myself why something was going on in my life. Or why changes hadn't taken place. And then the word of God will come back to me and say, you're not supposed to be reasoning. You're just supposed to know and obey God. Yeah, you know what the word says, so why would you reason concerning the situation you're going to? I preached the message, what was that? Thinking not strange. Like the fiery trials that you're subjected to. Well, if the Bible tells you don't think it's something foreign or something that you shouldn't be going through, Jesus said, these things that I do, you shall do the same thing. Or he said, take up my cross and follow after me. Well, we know what he went through for 3.5 years. The only thing about it is we go through it once we give our heart and life to him for the rest of our lives. If we can hold fast.
Amen.
This can possibly be a rough life. I know people, I see people that used to be members serving God are no longer serving God. And they say, Rev, it just got it. You know what? It was just too hard. God expect too much out of us. I said, okay, I'm happy for you. But nevertheless, so according to as God has dealt to every man the what? The measure of faith. I love that. That lets you know that God loves everybody. I don't care what you call them. I don't care what name or what title they got. God loves everybody. You say, well, God only loves church people. No, he loves people out there that don't go to church.
That's right.
All of us have that measure of faith implanted in us.
Yeah.
We all have it. Now, whether we decide to do something with it or we allow God to touch us in order to do something with it is a different story.
Amen.
But every man, every woman, every child is born with that measure of faith in their lives. I like that measure of faith because God gave me a little tricky saying because that measure of faith represents a homing beacon. There's something in you called a measure of faith that allows God to search you out.
Yeah.
At that specific time, yeah, then you can either say you want to serve God or you don't want to serve God. You make up your own mind. He's not going to twist your arm. He's not going to come down and scare you and make you want to do right. You're expected to do it on your own. For as we have many members in one body as a whole, and all the members, and see, this is what all this is getting up to for us to be sacrificial lambs, to be sacrificed, living sacrifices, because that puts us in a position where we have to understand that you're not the only member. There's other members in this body, other members that think differently, that understand differently, that talk differently, that dress differently, that walk differently, that do things totally different from the way you do them. But because they love the same God that you love, and they're serving the same Jesus that you're serving, that means that they're still a part of you.
Amen.
And we tend to want to separate ourselves from one another because we don't look the same, or we don't walk the same, or we don't understand the same. Or I think I got more knowledge than you got. Or my pastor is bigger than yours. My church is bigger than yours. That don't mean nothing. The only thing that matters is the knowledge, the character that's in your life, which represents God.
Yeah.
So, members in one body, and all members have not the same office. We all don't have the same function. But the good thing about it is, we have the ability, through the mercies of God, to respect one another in a way where we can allow that, what they do, to be encouraging to what we do.
Amen.
So we being many are one body. So In spite of, and see, it's just not talking about this church. It's talking about all the churches. It's even talking about churches in Indonesia and China that are able to exist. All over the world, churches, people are dealing and going through things and understanding. And see, most of the time, when Paul was talking to somebody, he wasn't even in their state. It's amazing what prayer do. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Say, for instance, I used to interpret mostly all of the word, the tongues that went forth. But when I saw Pastor Keys and Pastor Relford doing, God said, it's time for you to take a back seat and let me work through them. Amen. So that's what I do. I take a back seat and I let God work through them. Now, if God isn't going to work through them that day, and I'm elected, then I do what I got to do. But God wants all the ministries to work together.
Amen.
Come together. And what, that's what makes us strong. One can put 1,000 flight. Two can do what?
10,000.
I'd rather be a part of the two with the 10,000.
Amen.
So we all have different gifts according to the grace or the mercy that is given to us. Whether it's prophecy, according to the proportion of faith. Most folks, we have that measure of faith, but you have to also understand there's also a gift of faith. There's a gift of faith where your faith, Pastor R used to pray for folks and walk away. He prayed about 4 or 5 words and walk away. And folks want you, when you pray for folks, they want to hear you pray for minutes. They want you to pray till you got big drops of sweat falling off your head so they can think God is doing something. When all of that actually happened, you overheat. I remember there was a man who was in the hospital. His bowels had erupted, ruptured. And went to the hospital. Pastor Hart walked in there. I said, well, what you mean? He said, I'm going to pray. So he went in there, and the guy said, Pastor, am I going to die? He said, no, you're going to live and declare the works of the Lord. And he said, come on, let's go. I said, you didn't pray. He said, there was no need to pray. I gave him what he needed to have. That man survived that because he already had all the stuff going through his blood. He was not supposed to live. But you know what it was? It was that gift of faith that was in the man of God that ignited the faith that was in the man that was sick.
Amen.
So, folks blaming their pastors because they ain't getting healed, you better get some faith in your life. Or blaming a prophet or an evangelist, you better get some faith in your own life. Or ministry. On ministering, or he that teacheth, on teaching. Pastor Relford is a minister. Pastor Keys is a teacher. Pastor Arneez, my wife calls it a storyteller. Because when she do tell a story, you're going to know all about that person. But what it does, it gives you insight. And it helps you understand what you're going through. And see, these are all the ministries, and I don't know what to say about Rev over there yet. He just kind of just floats like a butterfly and stings like a bee. When he's teaching the word. You know, he's that new age teacher. We still old. We still going by the old way of teaching. He always like, Pastor, you got to come up to date. I've tried. I still can't work my phone. I started to go get that flip phone. Pastor Key's got a flip phone. Wow. But you know, it's the sign of time. We have to do what we have to do. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence. See, when you talk about simplicity, there's no, you're giving and you're not expecting to get anything back from it. That's simplicity. Amen. How many folks you know give you something and don't expect to get anything back? That he ruleth, or he that ruleth with diligence. He, that when you rule it, you don't rule angrily, but you rule with love and with grace. But you're very diligent about it. You're not going to let them change your mind on what you already know to be true.
Right.
You know, I back to bowling again. I'm back in bowling. Some of the things these guys say and some of the names they have up there, you know, one guy, they don't never have their real names. You see names like Dirty Reg. I hope he ain't watching. Dirty Reg and Dirty Dog. And, you know, you see that stuff for years. So when somebody tells you somebody's name, you don't even know who they are.
Right.
If they don't say Dirty Reg, well, who is Charles? See, God wants folks, when they look at us, to know his name.
Amen.
To know his name in particular. Because they can look in your eyes and see that there's something different about you. They can feel your spirit when you shake their hand or when you love them and know that it's something in your life.
Yeah.
I've got people who come to me. I'm, you know, when I go to the bowling alley, I go to the bowling alley just to bowl.
Right.
My wife will tell you, I just sit there. Don't talk to me. I'm just sitting. But I got people now come nudging next to me. Can you pray for me? I'm like, when? When? I'm on seven bagger. He said, right now. So what do? Do you tell him to get up and leave, or do you pray? You pray. And then before you get out of there, you got two or three more people. That's the sneer up to you. You got to follow me in the bathroom. I'm trying to use the restroom. He said, when you get through, Red, can you pray? I said, yep, as soon as I wash my hands. But see, people are looking for that.
Yeah.
They're looking for some type of love or understanding or care. You ever had a hug from my wife?
Yeah.
I got grown men run from my wife. Because she'll hug you and you think you in the jaws of something. But you know what? People appreciate that. Now they're looking for that hug.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where's your wife? I said, she's not here someplace. I need my hug.
Right.
This was the same person that said, don't you ever hug me again. Most people have. And the only way you can do that is by presenting yourself as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service, but you got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you don't keep thinking the way you used to think. You can think differently.
Amen.
You can think now, instead of saying they don't have no right to that, now you can say to yourself, they do have a right to it. They have, because it's what? It's life. It's the right of life, you know. We are like rivers of running water just spewing up out of our system. And we have to be a blessing to and encouraging and strengthening to everybody. Whether you like them or not. Because a lot of folks. But God don't care nothing about it. He said either you're going to be real or you're not. And I think I'd like to be real. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody stand. So if I gave this message the title, it would be titled, Therefore, Whose Body Is It? Greatest examples that God used was in 1 Corinthians when he talks about the man and the wife. He said, for the man's body is no longer his own, but it's his wife, I'm paraphrasing, and the wife's body is no longer hers, but it belongs to the man.
That's right.
Yes.
That's why we can't stay together. We don't understand that. Because anything that you are a part of, you do what? You protect. You don't only protect from out there, you protect from yourself.
Amen.
Amen. I didn't get a bunch of amens on that one.
Amen.
Maybe I learned from my last marriage. I learned a great deal. But God is good.
Amen.
And God is still in the blessing business. And He's looking for a people that's willing to transform their minds, change their attitude, their disposition, so that He can have His way in their lives. And I tell you all the time, it will cost you something in order to allow that to happen in your life. I said, I pray, Lord, let me love people not for what I want them to be, but for who they are. Let me accept them for who they are. It doesn't matter what they do. That's between them and God. It's my responsibility to show them the love of God anyway. You know, there's a young man that I watched grow up, you know, moved out to New York, and he shows up at least once a year during Christmas time. And nobody wants, you know, the kids to, but the old folks don't want to be bothered. And when I hug him, I said, good to see you, son. He said, great. I'm glad. It's good to see you, Red. How you doing? You know, you can't reject people. You know, because he's decided he wants to use an alternative lifestyle. Now, I may not like it, but that ain't none of my business. I don't have to do it.
Amen.
And I can't judge him.
Right.
I'll leave all that up to God. Because you know what he ain't going to do? He ain't going to make no mistake. Amen. We just got to get our acts together and get our insides cleaned up, our attitudes and our character and our mindsets, so we can do the will of God in the earth right now, not tomorrow. Folks waiting to get to heaven to serve God, you better serve Him now or you won't get to heaven. I know you've read the scriptures where it says hell is enlarging itself. There's only one reason. There ain't going to be more sinners. There's going to be a whole lot of saints. Or said they were. Amen.
Amen.
Take somebody by the hand. I'm going to pray that the Spirit of the living God will influence our lives in such a way that we'll see past whatever it is that we're dealing with and see the blessing in it. That we'll honor Him with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, and temperance. That we'll honor Him with the fruit of the Spirit. So that men and women will respect not us, but respect the God that's in us. Because I have folks all the time said, who used to know me, said, you're not like you used to be. I said, thank God. Thank God for it. Because God will change your life. He will transform your mind. And so that's what I want to pray, that God will begin to transform our minds for this new year. Because we haven't seen what's in front of us in this new year. While remember what was behind us in the old one. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now that you move by your Spirit on everyone in this building here today. Lord, that you would, by your word, transform us in the depths of our minds. That we might see you as you are and not the way we want you to be. Father, in that case, Lord, that we can look at each other and see you in each other.
Yeah.
Having faith and confidence that the love of God that's in us is going to affect whatever it is going on in our lives. Teach us, Lord God, to walk up circumspectly, Lord, with the love of God. Let us always look up, knowing that our help cometh from you and not from ourselves.
Yeah.
Father, you said that we can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens us. Now, Lord, I know that you have strengthened us to live the life of God in the earth. You said these things that you did, we shall do all. Well, we got to do it, Father, and there's no way around it. We have no choice in the matter. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to serve you. And I pray by your power and through your energy that you manifest yourself within their lives, bringing them to a place of solitude, Father, a place of maturity in your power, Lord, in your spirit and in your word. Lord God, that they'll see things the way you see them, hear them the way you hear them, understand them the way you understand them, because they've gotten into their word and they've studied their Bibles. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, give us a yearning and an anchoring, Lord God, to study, to show ourselves approved, that we might, Lord God, not just encourage ourselves, but that others might be encouraged by the power of God that you have placed within our lives. So, Father, I thank you today for ministering to everyone here. If there is any sick among us, let them be healed. Any trouble-minded, Lord God, let them be delivered. Any without peace, let them have peace. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I speak it into existence right now by the power of God, and I call it done, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
Come on and give God some praise. You, but last year was rough. It was a rough year. Rough year. But you know what? I feel good about it because I grew in that year.
Amen.
I grew closer to God because I had to depend on Him.
Amen.
What I knew in February, I had my knee replaced. I had to depend on God.
Yeah.
Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, now they tell me I got a tear in my rotator cuff, and it ain't even the arm I use.
Oh, wow.
So I told Megan, wait on that. So I'm gonna wait it out. Stuff happens. Ain't that right, God? That's right. But you know, God expects us to what? Shake it off to people? And it ain't that easy all the time. Because you know what pain does? It talks to you. It will control your thoughts. It'll control your actions. If you let it. I refuse to let it. Amen.